And all God's people said, amen. Do you have treats? Okay. Boy, this is for a little person. I mean, it wasn't meant to be funny, but it just turned out that way. Let's see. There we go. Let's see if we can do this without making a mess. All right. So, hey, let's put our hands together. Praise the Lord for these kids. Good job. Good job. So, I hear that I am standing in the way of you and your treats after the service. So, I'll do my best to not prolong that. Okay. But I do have a little word to share. Hey, I couldn't help but notice Roman's shirt unbuttoned. Kind of about to hear. I saw a little chest hair poking out like his dad. A sweater in the making. They did great. Well, one of the things that was awesome about that is, I mean, trying to get memorizing lines. Who's good at that, by the way? Anyone? Okay. Except the kids here. They did an excellent job. Good job, guys. That was fantastic. All right. Well, I wanted to share with you a little. Let's pray. I want to share a little word with you. Father, we just thank you for this time. Thank you for the word that was shared and the songs that were sung. That really, this is all about you. It's all about giving you praise and glory. It's all about responding to your gift of love through your Son with thanksgiving, gratitude, with joy, and we're just so thankful that you are with us. That's what Emmanuel means. You're with us. You're for us, and that is such an amazing thing that we can take for granted. And just help us, Lord, to hear what your Spirit has to say to us today. And we thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, one of the verses that we had read, this is out of Matthew 1, again, verse 21 and 23, and she will bring forth a son. This is the angel speaking here prophetically, and you shall call his name Jesus. This is to Joseph, and he will save his people from their sins. And then it quotes scripture, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. That's prophet Isaiah. Saying, and here's the verse that we want to look at today, think about, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Everybody say Emmanuel. Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. That's right. So what's interesting, this word that was given to Joseph was actually first given 700 years before to a man by the name of Ahaz. 700. In fact, Ahaz was Joseph's great, 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 great grandfather. So the first time this word was given, it was given to the 15th great grandfather of Joseph. So a long time, right? And in fact, it's about 700 years before Jesus actually became a baby and God sent his son to be our Savior. Now, a little bit of context I think is important for that original gospel Christmas message in Isaiah. Ahaz was the king of Judah, and they had gotten word that there was a pact, an agreement, an alliance made between Israel. Some of you maybe aren't aware that at the time, Israel was divided into two kingdoms. There was Judah and there was Israel. And Judah and Israel were often against one another. And so Israel and Syria had made an alliance and they were threatening to make war with Judah and Jerusalem. And consequently, the people, the king and the people, were filled with fear. In fact, Isaiah chapter 2, chapter 7, verse 2, it says, when they heard this, so his heart, the king's heart, and the heart of his people were moved as the trees of the woods are moved with the wind. Who remember just a few days ago we had like a big windstorm? Remember that? Anybody lose any damage to anybody's houses, roofs, or anything like that? Any trees fall? And we've had our share of wind storms over this past year, but it was just one recently. Who has dogs? Puppies, dogs, whatever. We've got a big dog and a little dog. And our big dog and our little dog are just big babies. Okay? I mean, they're just babies. They get scared about just about anything for some reason. And so this windstorm came. So we found out the next morning, because it was windy all night, that Boone, he's the little guy, was so afraid. He somehow found a way to get out of his kennel outside. And then he didn't know how to get back in. And so he's just this nervous little thing. I mean, he's not generally nervous. He thinks he's a big dog. Who has little dogs that think they're big dogs? Okay, he's kind of like that, you know, and he thinks he's the same size as his big brother, which they don't look anything like, but he thinks they do. But in any case, so Boone is just like full of fear and anxiety, and so he's there when we, you know, with front door, you know, he just has to come right into the house, and he's all like all nervous and afraid of the wind. Well, that's, you know, if you've ever been afraid of something, or if you have animals that are like that and they get afraid of things like that. Well, that's kind of, you know, a little bit of a picture for us when we think about Ahaz and the people. They were so afraid. It was like they were trees swaying in the wind with great fear. All right. Now, in response, now God knows this. You know, God knows when you're afraid. Who's thankful for that, by the way? God knows when you are fearful. And so the Lord sends Isaiah the prophet to give King Ahaz a word of comfort, a word of encouragement. And this is the word that he gave. He says, listen, I want you to trust me. Don't trust men. Trust God. Their alliance, that alliance between your enemies, that's going to fall apart. It's going to fail. Okay, so he wanted to tell him that. So Isaiah went, told him that word. And then Isaiah said from the Lord to Ahaz, ask God for a sign. Ask God for a sign that God is actually going to do. Like a sign, like, you know, within a short span of time, God's going to give you a sign to prove that word is going to be true. Well, Ahaz, you know, one of the things that's interesting about this Christmas message was actually given not to a very nice guy. It was actually given to a pretty wicked, faithless, ungodly, proud king. And you know what? He wasn't really interested in hearing what the Word of God had to say. Now, he acted like he kind of had this like, oh, I'm just too, I'm too humble to expect God to see. I'm not going to ask for a sign because I'm just not worthy. So it was all this false humility. But God says, you know, I'm going to give you a sign anyway, because God cares about his people, regardless of whether it's a good king or a bad king. And so he is going to give them a word anyway, regardless of Ahaz's defiance. It's a sign to all who have troubled hearts, all who have been racked with fear and anxiety and are like the trees blowing in the wind, and we've all been there. And this is the sign, behold, the virgin shall conceive. He shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. So the sign is going to be a child, a miraculous child. In fact, behold, the virgin, in fact, the child's going to come from a virgin. It's going to be a miraculous, supernatural provision of God. God wanted his people to know that he was with them, because that's what the word means, right? Emmanuel means God with us. And God wanted his people to know that he was with them even when it didn't seem like it. No matter if they were ruled by a wicked king like Ahaz or attacked by a wicked nation like Syria, God was still with them and he was for them. So no matter what the circumstances looked like, God would be with them and he would give them a sign to prove that. And so the promise to send Emmanuel, God with us, that's the promise, Emmanuel, implied something. It implied that in some sense God was not with them. Now, we know that God is everywhere. We call that word, big word, omnipresent. We know that God is everywhere. And yet, in some sense, God was not with them. And one of the reasons why the king and the people really in so many ways had turned from the Lord. And so there was a sense in which it seemed that God was not with them. Well, in a sense that was true because, you know, God can be everywhere but not with you. He's everywhere, but he could, in a sense, in a very real sense, not with you in regards to a relationship with you where there is peace, where you and I are right with him. So God, we believe that God's in this room. We believe that God's here in a very particular way because the Word of God says that he manifests himself when his people gather together. In fact, that's the Word of God. The Word of God says, here, of Jesus says, here am I and the children that you have given me. And he dwells with his people, especially, and Jesus even said, where two or more gather together. There's more than three. So he is with his people, but there's times when it's also true to say he's not. Because sin is in the way. And that was the case with Israel. But God wanted them to know that he was with them for them. Now, throughout their history, God had given visible signs of his favor and of his presence. There were the covenants, the temple, the law, the priesthood, the monarchy, the Ark of the Covenant, the patriarchs, the prophets, the city of David. All these things signified in some sense that God was with them and for them. But throughout their history, their temple could be destroyed, the law could be forgotten, the priesthood could be corrupted, the monarchy could be exiled, the ark could be stolen, the prophets could be martyred, the city could be conquered, and the blessed nation could be defeated and scattered all over the world, which is exactly what happened. That poses a real question. Well, is God with us then if all these things, if all these visible signs are no longer there to prove that he is? Because these have all happened at one time or another in the history of Israel. And each time with each loss and each defeat, there was a resounding sense that the glory of the Lord had departed and that God was not with us. And so the promise of Emmanuel was God's answer to that desperation and that longing of the people who were held captive by their enemies. A people who were destitute, broken, crushed by sin, by the world, and under the judgment of God, whom they had rebelled against. Israel had fallen into sin. Their kings had fallen. Their prophets had fallen. Their priests had fallen. The people had fallen. There was no other option but judgment because God is holy, and his holiness demands justice. They had forsaken God, and so he would forsake them. He would give them over to the consequences of their idolatry. Israel would be dispersed throughout the nations. They would essentially cease to be a nation, particularly for a long period of time, as we know. Judah would eventually follow Israel into exile. They would be led away as captives. Sold as slaves, exiled from their home, from their city, and from their country, they would be despised by the world. They'd go into exile because of their sin. Their sin had separated them from God. It seemed that God was not with them. And if I ended the Christmas message there, it would be kind of a downer, right? Well, Emmanuel is a message that says that's not the end of the story. Now, the Jewish exiles would eventually conclude that God was right about them. Isaiah 64, verse 5, it says, really, in response to God, in response to some of these judgments, you are indeed angry, for we have sinned in these ways we continue, and we need to be saved. That was their conclusion. We have sinned, and we need to be saved. And until we acknowledge that, recognize that that's our situation, there's no hope. But Emmanuel is God's message saying, there is hope for those who have sinned. Amen? Because like Israel, we've all rejected God at one time or another in our lives. We've turned our back on his love. We've gone our own way. We've done what was right in our own eyes, as they had. We've bowed at the gods of pleasure. Money, entertainment, comfort, food, work, self, you name it. We've sinned and we need to be saved. In fact, Paul referred to this separation and exile from God in Ephesians 2, and he said this, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Listen, there is nothing worse than being without God in this world and the next. Nothing worse. And here's the dilemma. Neither Israel nor us have the power to change our desperate situation. In other words, we cannot save ourselves. Our sin is too great, and the price of our ransom is too high. It is a price only God Himself could pay. And that's Emmanuel. Jesus said this in Matthew 20 in reference to Himself. He said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." Emmanuel is the ransom. He's the ransom price. The word in the Greek for ransom, it means the price of redeeming. It referred to that which was paid for slaves. It's from a word that means to loose or to dissolve. Paul wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy 2, he said this. He said, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time." Peter uses the same word, or used the same Greek word for redeem. It's our English word redeem. It says, "You were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Emmanuel is the lamb. Emmanuel is the ransom price. Emmanuel is the only one who can deliver us from the captivity of our sin. This is why He came. This is why He was born. I mean, I love this time of year. I love all the lights. I love all the, you know, the decorating. I begin to, you know, the day after Thanksgiving, it's only Christmas music. Okay? Now, I wasn't like that as a younger kid. I didn't care about that, but that's all it is. You know, as soon as I get into my office, got Christmas music playing in the background while I'm working on my sermons. Okay? So, I love this time of year. I love the time with family and friends, and I love the ways that we celebrate, but we have to remember what this is all about. This is about that we are in desperate need of a deliverer. We are in desperate need of a Savior. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. It's Jesus Christ, right? And that's what Jesus said. This is why He came. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," quoting the Old Testament in Luke chapter 4. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me, because the Father has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." Why? When God looks upon you, when He looks upon sinners, what is His response? His response is to take care of that which separates you from Him. That's what He desires to do. That's Emmanuel. Emmanuel is God's answer to our longing hearts. You know, we live in a world that is, we're all searching for something. Man in general, searching for something, searching for peace, searching for significance, searching for meaning, answer the question, why am I here? And why is it this way? Jesus Christ is the answer to that question. It is Emmanuel who has come to redeem us, to ransom us from the slavery of sin. Paul wrote this, he said, "I am carnal, sold under sin." That was the condition of man. I am sold under sin. And that is the truth. We're all sold under sin. Now, we've used a word that quite a bit in this little brief message here, the word sin. And we live in a world that doesn't want to talk about that. But if we can't talk about that, then we can't talk about salvation either. Because we'll have no reason to go after God's salvation and to receive it by faith unless we realize the fact that The problem is in me. Not around, not in this, and we can blame this, that. The problem's in me, that the separation has to be taken care of within me. And so God has to enter into me to remove the separation. God's answer is Emmanuel, God with us. Like items sold in a marketplace, bartered back and forth, that's the condition of man and the human race, sold to the highest bidder. When I was a kid, and which one of you guys are trying to, who's saving their money? Anybody trying to save their money? You earn, I don't know how much grandmas pay you now to like vacuum or something like that, but man, I worked hard for a quarter. Maybe that's still, I don't know if the wage has changed or not. But man, I would work hard to earn that quarter. Eventually, after vacuuming floors and working on this little job, that job, and I'd get a quarter here, a quarter there, I'd have a stack of quarters. In fact, it was $5 a quarters. And I remember we'd go to this store, and there was this this fire truck with a couple of firefighter figures. I'm like, man, I want to save up my quarters and I want to buy that fire truck. And so I'd save my quarters and I'd put them on that stack and I'd just stand and bask in the glory of that little stack of quarters. Whew. Do I really want to go buy something? The quarters themselves, it's like rich. But you know, one day I put those quarters in my pocket and went to the store, or was taken to the store with my parents, and grabbed that fire truck off the shelf. Purchased, drop, psh. Now, you got to do that sometime. If you're going to buy your own thing, just take a bunch of coins and just slap it on top of it. That's figurative, okay? Just put the change smashing against the counter. I'm buying this fire truck. And so when I took that fire truck home, and it was mine. And you know, in a way, that's kind of what Jesus has done for us. Because he saw you and I on those shelves. Items in this world bought and sold because of sin. And Jesus didn't stack up a bunch of quarters. It was his very life, his blood was the purchase price to redeem us and to buy us out of the marketplace. It's interesting. In Galatians, it says this. We're wrapping up here. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Now, there's a word here, the word redeem here. It's a different Greek word. And I mean, it's a long word. It's exagorizo. Okay, comes from a word that means marketplace. Agora is a market. Okay, agorazo means buy up at the market. Exagorazo means to buy out completely. Okay, so it means completely to buy out. It means to redeem by the payment of a price to recover from the power of another. And that's what it's saying that Jesus Christ has done. That's what it's saying that God has done by sending Emmanuel to us. That he has exagorazo, he's purchased us out of the marketplace. In fact, what Jesus has done by becoming Emmanuel, he entered into the marketplace. And in doing that, he paid the redemption price, buying us out of the marketplace, never to be bought and sold and bartered and traded ever again. Like I did when I bought that little fire truck and that was mine, when Jesus purchased you with his sacrifice, your home is not the marketplace anymore. He's bought you out of that. He said, "You're mine and I'm taking you home." Amen. You have received Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning. You've trusted him as your Lord. If you can say, he's my Emmanuel, not just the Emmanuel, but he's my Emmanuel, then you are exagorazo. completely redeemed out of the marketplace. Isn't that awesome? That's what God has done through Christ, his Son. Never to be bought and sold again. And so no longer are we captives, exiles, sold under sin. No, the Son of God, the Word made flesh, our ransom, our Savior, our Emmanuel, he has already come. God is with us. Have you received him? Is he yours? I would really encourage you to do that. Hear what the kids shared with us today and what their little hearts believe and have received, because Jesus said himself, you must have the faith of a child to enter into his kingdom. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's stand. Father God, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for the message that's been shared in a number of ways this morning, shared from our children in a play. And thank you for their tender hearts toward you and their love for Jesus and their desire to share that and to be a part of this program today. Thank you for the helpers and the teachers, the parents that were part of that. And we just ask your blessing upon them. It's a lot of work getting to this point. Father, thank you for the music that we've sung, some familiar carols, and yet what powerful truth. And you are worthy to be adored. You are worthy to be praised, because indeed joy has come to the world through your Son. And we thank you for the Word of God. We pray, Lord, that the seed of the Word of God would not return void, but that you would cause your Word to take root in our hearts and produce thanksgiving and obedience and faith and trust and love for you and for one another. May we be a people that display and declare the majesty of Christ, God becoming a man, dwelling among us, and we beholding his glory. Thank you, God, for that. If there's someone here that doesn't know you, pray for their salvation. Pray that they would come to you and trusting in the Emmanuel that you have provided through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for this day. Bless us as we go. Bring us back safely. We give you praise in Jesus' name. All God's people said, put your hands together for these kids again. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Go with God. Amen.